conference is now starting. All attendees are in listen-only mode.
Okay, good morning. Today is Friday, October 16th, 2020, and the time is 8:30 a.m. I now call this meeting of the Audit Committee of the Finance Commission of Texas to order pursuant to Chapter 551 of the Government Code. At this time, I will conduct a roll check. Hector, are you present?
Yes, I am.
Larry, are you present?
I am here. Good morning, Hector and Molly.
Good morning. We have a quorum of the Audit Committee with all three members present. If there is anyone wishing to address the commission, you will need to use the webinar platform in order to be recognized. You must use the raise your hand feature on your screen and submit the agenda item you wish to comment on using the question feature. Public comments on non-agenda items are limited to 5 minutes and agenda items 10 minutes. First on the agenda, we have the review and approval of the minutes of the August 21st, 2020 Audit Committee meeting. These minutes were circulated to the members in the agenda packet. Are there any corrections to the minutes?
No, ma'am.
Do I hear a motion to approve the minutes of the Finance Commission of the Audit Committee meeting held on August 21st, 2020?
So moved.
Yes, I'm all second. This is Larry.
Okay, so Hector made the motion. The second was Larry. Any further discussion? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
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 There are no opposed. The ayes have it, and the motion passes. We'll now move on to item B. Commissioner Cooper, would you please give us your report?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Our report starts on page 4, and I'd like to ask Chief Operating Officer Wendy Rodriguez to go over that.
By the way, I don't see that the screen has moved. Are we going to be showing it on the screen or no?
No, we will not be showing it on the screen, Madam Chair. We will leave the okay. Raise the hand feature for the audience at this time.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Wendy Rodriguez for the Texas Department of Banking. On page 7 of the packet, you will find the Banking Department's Outstanding Audit Activities Report. There are two items that I would like to point out. First, on the imaging and records management, there was an outstanding item at the last report that has since been completed. The outstanding item related to the archival documents was resolved in September when the Texas State Library Archivist confirmed that the documents in question for the audit were indeed no longer considered archival and they did not need to be reviewed by that agency. The second item...
Wendy, can I stop you on there for just a second?
Sure.
So my only comment to that is if you could come back, I'd like to know when the procedures are completed. So in other words, under the risk assessment process, it says completed, but it says that the procedures are in the final stage of development. Have they been done, or can you let us know when they are completed?
Are you talking about the change management?
Correct.
Yeah,
is that where you are?
No. I was on the imaging. I was headed towards the change management.
Gotcha. Sorry.
No, you're fine. The change management, that is the one related to the MIS area. And they are ready to publish the change management procedures along with the data app ownership list. These comprise the complete procedure. Our internal tracking system is being used as a change management log, which will allow our staff to provide reports for all the changes to apps, any network and server configurations. And it is anticipated that we will have that up and ready sometime either Monday or Tuesday of next week. And I will let you and the other audit committee members know when it is officially up.
Perfect, thank you.
Alrighty, and that is the end of my report for the Department of Banking.
Okay, next we go to Commissioner Jones.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The SML's activity report is on page 8. There are three items. The first is the risk management program review by form. That review is completed. The report's in the materials. For the second review, this is the second review in a row in which there were no findings or no recommendations. They provided us a list of resources for training and best practices because we asked for them, not because they told us we needed them. In fact, the Storm asked our permission to use our program manual to give to other agencies as a sample and to use it for their own staff, which of course we agreed that they can do. I want to commend the SML staff involved in this area, particularly Antona Antoff, as she serves as our risk manager. Next is the DIR penetration test. It has been done. We just received the report and are reviewing it, so we anticipate reporting it to you on to you all on that in the December meeting. And then lastly, the DIR cybersecurity framework assessment began earlier this week, and so it has not been completed yet. And that completes our report.
Okay, great. Thank you. Commissioner Pettijohn?
Thank you, Madam Chair. The Office of Consumer Credit Commissioner report begins on page 15 for the status of outstanding audit items. And you'll see from the records management audit that was reported at the last meeting, we had two items, and both of those items have been completed. And so there's a little information about that there. There was an outstanding item, which has kind of been going on for quite some time, the duplicate payment audit that the Comptroller of Public Accounts began. And they asked for a lot of information well over a year ago, but anyway, they finally completed that report. And a copy of that report is included behind the status of agency activities. And they reviewed, they had a very long period of time. They were looking from September of 2015 to August of 2015. Anyway, they did identify one duplicate payment, travel payment for $114.64. During the period of time, this was a year ago or so, we did receive reimbursement for that particular item. It was from 2016, the particular document, but the employee still worked with us and reimbursed us for that duplicate payment. They also looked at another sample of 45 duplicate payments that we did a self-review on, and there were not duplicates within that. They recommended we strengthen our procedures, which we have done. And that is now complete. We have a new tracking system just to verify. Primarily, these were travel, and sometimes we have examiners that might make a consistent trip if they're going back to the same licensee over and over. And anyway, it may end up looking like a duplicate, but we've strengthened our procedures to ensure that there's no duplicates. And then future items, obviously, we are now involved in the risk assessment for Garza Gonzalez and Associates. And that has begun. We expect to have the risk assessment and the audit plan, I believe, should be provided to you in December. And then we are also in the scheduling process. We don't have dates yet for DIR for both the, and this is not on the report, but the penetration test, just because we don't have dates yet. But there should be a penetration test and vulnerability scan being scheduled sometime soon, as well as the review of the cybersecurity framework was also requested, but we don't have dates yet. So those particular items will be upcoming. But that's all I have on the outstanding items.
Okay, great. Thank you. We'll now move on to item C. Commissioner Cooper?
Yes, ma'am. So stand by just a second. So the investment officer report for the Department of Banking starts on page 18. The first item is the seized funds report, and we have no seized funds, so obviously that is zero. Then on page 19 would be the trust-funded prepaid funeral guarantee fund quarterly investment report. There are two activities that impact both the additions and the deduction. It is $37,616. Under the addition, that would be, we had some funds that we issued via checks to some individuals at the Austin Peel and Son Funeral Home. They were not negotiated by the customer. So at the appropriate time, we put a stop payment on those checks, and then under the deductions of the same amount, we had to escheat those to Treasury. So those are the basic debits and credits on that account. Then you have the how much money and where the money is down underneath that. Then on page 20 would be the insurance funded prepaid funeral guarantee fund, and really the only activity there would be the interest we've received on that money. And that concludes our report, Madam Chair.
Okay, thank you. Commissioner Jones?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. SML's investment officer report is on page 21. It reflects normal activity. I do want to make two comments. One, I want to let you know that there is a correction on the percentage for Texas Treasury safekeeping interest rate. It says in the material 0.38. It should be 0.038. So apologize for that typo, but didn't want y'all to have the correct information. And then secondly, we are looking into where to place additional CDs, as we discussed at the last meeting, and you'll see more about that in future meetings. And I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Just a comment. never thought I would say that Antonia did a great job going out in getting higher rates all along on the 24 months. But I think the commissioner should probably take a look at, should we put so much in the Texas Treasury safekeeping with such a low yield? Can we go out a little bit? Not that I have a magic, ball, but I think we could probably go out a little bit and just maybe get a little bit more in interest, but the curve is pretty flat, so.
Yes, thank you. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I was just saying that all of the agencies should take a look at that.
Okay, and that is, we will do that as I said, when we're looking into where to place additional CDs, which we talked about last meeting, you all asked us to do that. We'll look at the term as well.
Okay.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions?
Yeah, this is Larry. And Molly, I agree with that. I know we touched a little bit on this at the last meeting. And I guess my question to all three agencies, is there a policy or best practices? I'm sure there is somewhere, but do we have access to how the money or what the thinking is behind the investment?
I'm going to ask Antonia to speak on that. Antonia, if you could unmute and introduce yourself.
Sure. Good morning. This is Antonia Antoff with Savings and Mortgage Lending. Yes, we do have an investment policy, and we bring it to you once a year for approval. I believe it was in the August meeting that we brought it for annual approval, and it details out some of the guidelines we follow. Also, we have in statute some guidelines of how we are allowed to invest our money, and for our agency in particular, we're allowed to invest following the allowed investment by employee retirement system, that's ERS. So the way they invest, that's how we can invest. Of course, you know, employee retirement system invests huge amounts of money. They have millions, and this is all the retiree funds. So, you know, it's very complicated what they follow. So our investment policy is a little bit more simplified, but yeah, we do have a policy. I'll be happy to send it to you, but it should be in the August packet as well.
I would love to see that. And thank you, Antonia. And I look back and saw that I was not able to put my hands on the policy itself. And it may be my mistake. I may have just missed it. But it may just be an ongoing discussion about that, about how I couldn't match up the cash on hand versus what's invested. And maybe it's a discussion separate from the audit committee meeting here. But thank you for that response.
Yeah, I will send you the policy, and if you have any additional questions, we can just discuss offline.
Okay, let's do that. Thank you.
Great, thank you. Thank you. So, Antonio, you'll send it to Larry, correct?
Yes, I will.
Okay.
Commissioner Pettijohn?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm going to ask Moran Diamond to go over the report, but before that, let me follow along a little bit on those comments related to the policy, and there may be some questions related to the educational endowment. But one of the three primary guiding principles of the policies we're going to talk about: preservation of capital, liquidity, and then after those two are met, then we can talk about yield. So those are some key things that we have to, of course, stay focused on as we're looking at some of these types of arrangements, as well as requirements in the statute to invest with Texas Safety and Trust. In the endowment fund, that is all managed by Safety and Trust and housed within there. There are particular formulas that we use. It's based upon some ERS guidance that they use for cash. That is not in the policy, but we use those kinds of guidelines to determine targets for cash balances. And Miranda will mention sort of the investment and the transfer into the investment portfolio. Let me turn it over to her there, let her go through the report, and then we can either pick up with more questions or conversation if we need to on that point. So, Moran?
Yes. Good morning, Moran Diamond, Office of Consumer Credit Commissioner. The investment officer report begins on page 22 of your packet. With regard to the recovery trust fund, normal activity there with an ending balance of $160,000. $160,000 roughly. Moving to the Texas Financial Education Endowment Fund, in the fourth quarter of FY20, we did transfer approximately $500,000 from cash to investment. Additionally, almost $40,000 in grants were dispersed. And the quarter completed with an ending balance of about $8.27 million and 3.5% net growth in the invested portfolio. That's all I have on that.
Okay, and this is the fund, Commissioner Pettijohn, that you're talking about. That we really, you know, once the money goes in there, it's managed by, you know, the state, and it is what it is, right? And unfortunately, right now, during this time, the interest rate isn't that great.
Right. That you're correct. They manage the invested portfolio, but they were able to still get, you know, some good yield out of the invested portfolio. And then we manage that cash amount. It's sort of a 10% of the portfolio in cash plus any potential need for grant payments and things like that continues.
Right.
Maintained in there, and we have to make investments not, you know, only in fairly significant installment amounts and not super frequently. So we do those, you know, once or twice a year. That's how we manage that. And so you're correct, but we get the benefit of a fully diversified portfolio because we're a tiny fish in a giant ocean of an endowment portfolio. So we do get a lot of benefit from being part of that portfolio of funds.
Right, exactly. I think what I was getting at more was where the different agencies like DOB or SML put their funds into, you know, CDs at their banks that they oversee. So at this time, it might make sense for some of that money to be, you know, put into CDs at those institutions, but once again, you know, the curve's pretty flat and the rates are pretty low no matter where you go. So from a safety perspective, you know, it's kind of six to one, half dozen to the other to some extent. But I'll be curious to see what SML comes up with and take a look at that. So, okay. No other reports. So do I hear a motion to recommend that the Finance Commission approve the agency's 2020 fourth quarter investment officer report?
This is Larry. I'll make a motion.
Okay, Larry. Is there a second? Hector is the second. Any further discussion? All in favor of the motion, please say aye. Aye.
Aye.
There's no opposed. The ayes have it, and the motion passes. We'll now move on to item D, Commissioner Cooper.
And the banking department's fourth quarter report starts on page 24. I'd like to ask Sammy to go over that.
Good morning, Sammy Chadley, Department of Banking. On page 24 is our operating statement for a quarter ending August 31st, 2020. Our actual revenues are for the quarter are 56% of budget, and our actual expenditures are 80.1% of budget. However, on year to date, both our revenues and expenditures actuals were around 88% of budget. On page 25 are our various variance explanations for the quarter. I'm going to go over just a couple of items. The first ones, two, are revenue related. So our bank and trust regulation revenues were less than budgeted due to the reduction in the fourth quarter bank assessments of 60% or approximately $3.9 million. For the year, bank assessments were reduced by approximately $5.9 million. The year-to-date bank and trust regulation revenue is at 89% of budget and was adequate to cover all direct and indirect costs of the bank and trust area. The second revenue item relates to non-depository supervision, and the variance there also is related to assessment reductions that resulted from the higher collection of penalties than were anticipated. The year-to-date revenue for that area is at 96.3% and was adequate to cover all direct and indirect costs. A couple of items for our on the expenditure side. Our in-state travel, out-of-state travel, and training were less than budgeted, mainly because of COVID. And then the last item on the expenditure side is our information technology, and we had a negative variance, and that was due to three items. The first one, we had unexpected security services that were needed. Second, we had unplanned infrastructure maintenance agreements and service license maintenance. And the last one is the procurement of computers and security software and infrastructure improvements. And that was due, and that item in particular, because of COVID, we procured those items in 2020 instead of 2021 as originally planned to transition staff to a remote work environment. Yeah. Are there any questions so far? On page 27 is our liquidity report, and the only mention is our unreserved cash was at 2.46 months, which is within the 2 to 6 month policy, liquidity policy.
Okie doke.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sammy. Mm-hmm. Okay, Commissioner Jones.
Thank you, Madam Chair. SML's report begins on page 28, and I'll call on Antonia Antoff to give that report.
Antonia Antoff, SML. As Commissioner Jones pointed out, our report starts on page 28. Our revenues are at 21.7% over budget. The biggest excess comes from licensing revenues. After a small dip in our licensing revenues in March, we have seen very, very high activity of licensing applications, so this has impacted our revenues. Our expenditures are at 6.9% under budget, and most of the items that are under budget are related to COVID. I just want to point out here, the other personnel cost is over budget. This includes lump sum payments to separating employees, and for the benefit of the new members that may not be familiar with this process, when an employee separates from the state, any annual leave balances are being paid to them. So usually when a person retires that has been with the state for a while, there's a large amounts of accumulated leave that gets paid out, and usually we do not budget for these because unless we know for sure that somebody is separating and they have notified us well in advance, which usually doesn't happen, so we do not budget for these because there is no certainty. However, we reserve those funds in our cash reserves for any potential retirements and large outlays of cash like that. Moving on to our liquidity report, it's on page 30. We ended the year with 6.8% of reserves. It's a little bit over the policy of 6 months, and we have taken measures next year, in the current fiscal year, to manage that. We have reduced fees for both industries, and we're monitoring closely the expenditure and the revenue budget. I would be happy to try to answer any questions.
Any questions for Antonia?
No questions.
Not here.
Okay, thanks, Antonia. Commissioner Pettijohn?
Madam Chair, our report begins on page 31, and Moran Diamond is going to provide the report on the fourth quarter financial statement.
Moran Diamond, Office of Consumer Credit Commissioner. Yes, on page 31 is our fourth quarter financial statement, as the commissioner said. Starting with revenue, total revenue came in at 102.5% of the projected budget. Motor vehicle self-finance revenue was 122% of that industry's budget due to reinstatements being higher than anticipated. That had occurred early in the fiscal year and continued throughout. Moving over to expenditures, overall expenditures were 85.3% of the amount budgeted. Travel and operating costs were lower than expected due to COVID-19. Personnel costs were 90.4% of the budget, due mostly to vacancies, which were intentionally remained open in the latter half of FY20. Moving to the liquidity report, cash at the end of the period was about $11.5 million. The fiscal year ended with 5.9 months of unreserved cash for future operations, which is within the Finance Commission guidelines. That's all I have. Unless there are any questions, we are happy to answer those.
No questions.
Okay. Thanks, Moran. With that, do I hear a motion to recommend that the Finance Commission approve the agency's 2020 fourth quarter financial statement?
So moved.
Okay. Okay, Larry second, Hector made the motion. Any discussion? All in favor of the motion, please say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Okay, the ayes have it and the motion passes. We'll now move on to item E, which is activities related to the Texas Financial Education Endowment Fund. Commissioner Pettijohn.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Andrea Johnson is going to provide the report for our agency. So, Andrea.
Thank you, Commissioner Pettijohn. Andrea Johnson, Grant and Financial Education Coordinator for the Office of Consumer Credit Commissioner. Semi-annual grant reports and reimbursement requests for the first quarter of the 2020-2021 grant cycle have been submitted and reimbursed. The semi-annual report has been included in today's packet of materials starting on page 36. During the first reporting period, a total of $39,876.27 was dispersed to 10 organizations. This reporting period was from March 1st to June 30th. Due to the coronavirus pandemic, a few of our recipients were unable to achieve their participation goals. However, they have adjusted their programs to an online platform to better serve Texans. Also, one of the K-12 recipients moved from the first year of the cycle to the second year of the grant cycle. 2019 impact report is available online at tc.texas.gov and was emailed to you all. During this grant cycle, a total of 21,314 Texans were served through programs provided by grant recipients. A total of $225,920.36 was used in grant funding to provide financial education across all of Texas. Thank you.
Hey, Andrea, thank you so much for that report. Any comments or questions for Andrea? Okay, yep, hearing none, and there being no further business, this meeting of the Audit Committee of the Finance Commission of Texas is now adjourned. The time is 8:59 a.m.